You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show. My name is Susan Dene and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today I am talking about decision making, specifically around other people stalling on decisions. When I came up with the title for the show, I thought, let's remove the codependency in our decision making. My inspiration for the show today came from a couple different areas. One is a chapter in my book. I'm focusing on tough decisions that we make. And as I was writing in the book, I was reminded of different tough decisions of my own and really weighed the pros and the cons. Certain decisions require more thought than others. How we come to the conclusion and what we decide to do moving forward, sometimes we get caught up in how it's going to impact everybody else, and we put ourselves on the back burner for significant decisions. In addition to writing in the book, I've had the pleasure of coaching a few folks this week. For whatever reason, the decision-making is coming up. And so I thought, well, that would be a great show topic. So today, yes, the lifting of the codependency in your decision-making and taking your life back. Do you ever feel like you're the one everybody comes to? Do you find yourself thinking and even worrying about the impact the decisions in your life will have on those around you? Do you worry to a fault? Do you suffer from the inability to say no, ultimately putting their needs in front of your own? Although kindness and consideration of others is an altruistic way to live, our motives are not aligned with our best selves when we do it to an extreme of codependency. What is truly motivating your decisions today? Who is truly motivating your decisions today? Join me as I talk today around what's motivating the decisions, who's motivating the decisions, and do you need to take ownership a little bit more for your life and maybe stay the heck out of other people's lives, maybe? I don't know. Maybe. We'll find out as I talk further on in the show. So the first thing I want to talk about today is really focusing on the relationships in our life and ask you this: are you addicted to making decisions that benefit the other people in your life? Do you have a hard time putting yourself first? I was speaking with a woman this week who is a decision maker in her life. Many of the women that I work with are very decisive for other people. It seems they're either in charge of folks or they have a family that they're caretaking. And when it comes down to it, they're in a place of service. They're in recovery from alcoholism or addiction, and they have women who come to them that they serve. And ultimately, everybody's coming to them for something, guidance, support, and they get caught in a loop of being, one, unable to say no, which is kind of would be a great show on boundaries. But they're so caught up in their decisions being showing up for somebody else that their own life gets put on hold, and they almost don't know how to make decisiveness a priority in their own life. And that's why I wanted to focus on the show today. You know, often we can get into a mode or a habit or an addiction of making decisions for others. Personally, I've been in this role. I've had to catch what I like to call the red cape factor. Saving the day, putting on the superwoman cape, going to the rescue of mom and dad and family and kids, and having my own goals, my own desires kind of on hold. At the end of the day, I'm responsible for that. Even if there seems that somebody else needs my time and needs my attention, you know, how do we find the balance in our lives to where we can continue to make the decisions that are going to propel us forward and still not walk away feeling like guilty or responsible for somebody else's needs. That's where the codependency might show up for you. That's where the living decisions for other people might be taking control of your life today. You know, decision-making is the process we use to identify and choose alternatives, ultimately coming to a final choice, which may or may not result in tangible action. It's basically a problem-solving activity that can be more or less rational or irrational based on the decision maker's values, beliefs, and perceived knowledge. I believe that when we start making decisions based in our life around everybody else, it's kind of like a chess game. I'm going to move here. I should really say checkers game. I don't know crap about chess. So we're just going to go checkers. And I don't even think I've played checkers in 30 years. Okay, here we go. I'm going to take my black checker piece and I'm going to move it this way, but only after I determine where you're going to move your red piece. So my life, I'm going to situate my life and my decisions and which move to make, right, based on what you're going to do first. And the reason I'm going to do that is because my sense of self-satisfaction and my sense of sometimes even our esteem can get all caught up in what you're doing. And so I don't want to maneuver myself or my life until I know exactly what you're going to do on your side. Now, if you need me to tell you what to do on your side, well, I'm your person. Anybody who is in a position that resonates with them, where they are adjusting their life and their decision-making based on somebody else's move, usually it's a relationship in their life that can show up professionally. It'll definitely, if you're a caretaker of any sort, it'll definitely show up in that arena, whether that's with children, whether that's in a marriage. You know, how many times are we putting on hold our decisions for ourselves based on the other people in our life? I like to take things to extreme, yet I guess I probably need to mention for anybody who's listening, there's always exceptions to this, and there's always balance to this. I'm not talking about being rude and crude and never taking into consideration other people in your life. And this isn't a show on selfishness and self-centeredness to an extreme. This is a show simply saying, well, and that would be gone to one extreme, right? I'm talking about when we go to the other extreme and we can't even move our checker pieces because we're constantly focused on what somebody else is doing or saying. And then we neglect our own decision-making, or we put on pause our own decision-making and then wake up a few months down the road, few years down the road, wondering why we haven't progressed in our life. And it's a really slippery slope for many, many people, because I will be probably the first to say, and one who experiences a desire to watch this within myself on a regular basis, people will absolutely take advantage of you helping them make their decisions if you let them do it. It's not because they are being crude and rude. You might have a couple people taking advantage of it in your life. I just think sometimes we're lazy thinkers. We're lazy decision makers. If you are the go-to person in life and you find that a lot of people come to you, I have this experience, there's a reason why you might be stalling on your own decision-making in your life. It's because other people are taking up your time. And the only person that can change that is you. So when you are weighing the pros and the cons for everybody else, you yourself are being negated. So why would we do that? Why would we leverage ourselves? Why would we leverage our time? Why would we leverage our energy to help somebody else, to help other people all the time, to a fault, to where our own self-care might be neglected, where we can't even make decisions on what we want to eat because we're so exhausted caretaking everybody else? Most of our decision-making in our life will be centered around our values and our beliefs, and they will absolutely impact which direction we choose to go to in our life. For example, if you are a mom and you have a lot of children, or even adult children can do this with moms, right? But if your values and your beliefs around this are that you always need to be there for your kid, you may always be also making decisions for your adult children that no longer need to be made. And this is a slippery slope. The reason it's a slippery slope is because when you choose to make decisions in this scenario, you can be at work also, but I'm going to focus in on the children, on the adult children. If you are too involved in their life and making too many of the decisions for them, they will never learn how to emotionally stand up for themselves. I have talked to two moms this week, one dealing with a 10-year-old child who faced some things at school, and the other one has an adult child who is suffering from alcoholism and addiction, and unfortunately, it's getting kind of bad. And both of these moms were in a position where they had to learn to, or are in a position actually, where they have to learn to let go and let their children have their experience and not make the decisions for them. So when you get into the values and beliefs about why you might be making decisions all about everybody else, and you're playing that checkerboard, deciding on what you want to do with your day, but only after somebody else, you know, after you find out what somebody else is doing, and we talk about the beliefs and values, well, our family influence can have a lot to do with the values and beliefs. And that can be one that really hits home the hardest. Those are the ones that really tie in sometimes to our self-worth. You know, somebody who might not be feeling too good about themselves, yet they're the go-to person in the family for problems, they might find themselves always helping somebody else make decisions because they're getting their value filled, their value fulfillments being there. They're feeling good about themselves, or they're in complete fear. If I don't make this decision to help them and put down what I'm doing for my own life, something bad might happen. And so fear will absolutely fuel making decisions for other people. It will fuel you putting your own life on hold for other people. But the family influence is a big one. Another influence that might cause you to be making decisions for other individuals before you make them for yourself is peer influence. You know, what are the values and beliefs around friends? Another individual this week, you know, felt like they haven't been making enough decisions around the friendship, worried that somebody is mad at them. They're feeling responsible and they're feeling guilty. They don't really know if there's true facts around this, but their own decision-making based on past behaviors has been to ignore. And they've got values and beliefs wrapped up around, I went too far and I got too close in making decisions for everybody. My friends mainly, because I want to play with my friends. I want to hang out with my friends, their opinions, you know, I value a lot. I'm worried about what they think about what the choices are I'm making. But then I got too involved in that. And now I've completely pulled off and I feel like I'm alone. And so there's this yin and yang of decision-making, but with a peer influence. So when I come back from break, I'm going to hit on a couple more influences that we have in our life that directly impacts whether we are making healthy decisions for ourselves or we're helping others find decisions for themselves, which in turn is unhealthy for us when we take it to an extreme. And so two more influences, and then I'm going to get into a couple stories about different tough decisions that I've had to make in my life that hopefully will be able to serve you if you're up against a wall and having to make some tough decisions in your life. How do you go about that? What are the pros and the cons that you need to weigh? And how do we get into a decisive momentum in our life so that we can make progress and still have satisfying relationships that we're not all wrapped up all the time playing that checker game? My name is Susan Dene. If you are looking for any type of coaching in your life, whether that's on an emotional elevation or a high performance, feel free to reach out to me on my website. It's at www.susandene.com. You can also view any of my social media outlets, all Susan Dene, Know You're Crazy. All right, so maybe you want to know some more about your crazy. If so, join me when I come back from break. Be back shortly.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning in your life? Tune in to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change with me, Lana Montrese, every fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Navigate into a world of sparkle, wonder, and a lifetime of magical change as you discover a way to heal that you never thought possible. For more information, visit LanaMontrese.com. That's LanaMontrese.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know You're Crazy show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Specifically today, I'm talking about decision making. How do we make our decisions when we know that the result of those decisions may impact relationships in our life? Are you addicted to making decisions after you think about how everybody else is going to be affected? Do you do that too often? So often that you don't even know how to put yourself first anymore. That's why I'm doing the show today. I've had a slew of individuals I've worked with this week where that is exactly coming up for them. And I myself have been completely responsible for this. Specifically, when I went to break, what I was sharing on, when we get into a cycle of making repetitive decisions for other people or placing other people before our own decisions, it comes down to our values and our beliefs. This is why certain pockets of influence will absolutely aid in us putting us on the sideline, making sure other people's needs, other people's desires and wants are taken care of first. A few of those that I mentioned were family influence. You know, how often, you know, it tugs at our heartstrings when we see a child suffering, in our opinion. And I say in our opinion, because just because we think they're having an experience of suffering does not mean that they're suffering. Sometimes there's an emotional payoff because we don't want to have to feel the pain in witnessing somebody else's so-called uncomfortableness. So we go in there and we put baby bumpers around the situation and try to, help them avoid pain. When really, if any of you have raised children for a while, and well, you yourself, pain is what really teaches us how far to push and how far not to push, how far we want to take it and how far we don't need to take it. As long as we are putting baby bumpers on problems for individuals, and I'm leaning on the child angle right now, they usually don't learn that fast, do they? Because they don't feel any of the uncomfortableness or the consequences based on their decision-making. So that based on their decision-making. So when we come into making decisions for them and we're trying to make it easier on them and we're not making them pick up the phone and call and figure problems out, we're picking it up for them, or we're not making them walk their little butt into a treatment center. Instead, we're making them all cozy at home with alcohol or drugs. Well, let me tell you, they're never going to really pick up and be decisive about their own problems. That's an example of something where sometimes we take it to extremes in the decision-making for other individuals. So the family influence can tug on the heartstrings so close to home that we can become addicted to making those decisions for them. The other one I talked about was peer influence. Simply, you know, we love our friends. We want to impress our friends. We care about what our friends think of us. Sometimes we will make decisions based on what our friends, what we think our friends may or may not think of us if we do something. You know, we value our friends' opinions. We value their beliefs. We're usually going to be within a peer group where we have agreements, like of an understanding that most of the time we're looking from the same perspective on a lot of things. And yet we can sometimes take that to extremes and put our friends' needs and worrying about what our friends think at the forefront of our decision-making and negate ourselves. The next influence that I was going to go through, and I'll do this briefly because I definitely want to move on, is money influence. You know, how many times do we put finances, and I know it's got to be made, it's got to be considered, but have we made finances a higher power to the point where we are neglecting our own decisions and our own, like, for example, are you so worried about money that you won't take care of yourself medically? Yeah. This one because sometimes comes up in coaching. If I'm talking to a potential new client, they don't want to pay money for the coaching because spending money on coaching and mental health or mental state of mind actually is what I would say coaching is more about. They don't want to do that because that means it's a financial thing, but it's more important to spend money on maybe a new car for the spouse or maybe new car or new toys for the kids, yet the individual continues to be miserable, not move forward professionally, not move forward individually with goals. They have no support network because the money influence is really dragging on them, but they're so kind of caught up in also that family influence, right? So money can have a big impact on our decision-making. Allowing ourselves, giving ourselves permission to spend money on ourselves to help us move forward in our life. We will sometimes penny pinch to the point of misery. And then guess what? You know, you've got a whole life built around you. You got finances and you've got things that you could spend money on. You don't. And then who knows? Maybe you get really sick and now you can't use any of it because you were making your decisions based on fear of not having enough. I don't know. What's the last influence that I'm going to talk about before I move on? And this was something I mentioned already, but it's the beliefs and the values sticking to something a long time. That responsibility, the over responsibility of sticking to something for too long. This is actually a nice segue into the next part of the show. When I was writing this week, the stories and the examples that I was talking about were tough decisions that we make. I did a show when I first started this show about a year ago. I did a show on new decisions, new experience, new identity. The chapter I was writing was mentioning tough decisions that we make. Tough decisions that we make. Do you have something in your life? And when you look back on your life, what is the toughest decision you ever had to make? Like, just think about that. There's probably like two or three at least. I remember years ago watching Dr. Phil when he first came out, and he said there's usually three or four defining moments in somebody's life where they had to shift gears and go in another direction, and it changed everything. Tough decisions, because when we stick to something for too long and we do not make a move that will benefit us, for all those reasons I've already mentioned, maybe it's money, maybe it's worry about the kids, self-sacrifice. I remember my dad worked for the railroad for 40 some years, a machinist. But before he did that, he wanted to be an architect. Unfortunately, the money that he had saved for that got spent by somebody else. Years later, literally in his 70s, he was still resentful at that situation because he never made the decision to spend money on himself, go back to school, and be an architect, right? To be an architect. And so there are certain things that we stick to stuff for too long, and then we wake up one day and we realize we're miserable. We were absolutely miserable. A tough decision, those life-defining moments where you had to make a decision that absolutely put you going in another direction. What made you do it? And why did you hang on for so long? I could probably say three really defining tough decisions in my life. Four. One was getting sober. I don't really know if that was a tough decision. That was more like a desperate decision. That was more like, if you don't do this, you're not going to have a life forever. So sometimes we say the desperation was a gift. Unfortunately, many addicts and alcoholics do not get the clarity or the gift needed. They don't come to that conclusion. I gratefully and appreciatively did come to that conclusion. The decision to get sober, really looking back, it was challenging, but it was all the many decisions that came after that that were life-changing, right? Because there's so much that goes into that. That was the first one. The second one was the divorce from my kid's dad. That was life-transforming. That one took a while because exactly what I'm talking about on the show today, because I was staying and I had to wait and really I had to work through some things because of there were going to be three people in particular that were going to be impacted by that. Those were my children. So there was an appropriate timing, but that was one of the toughest ones I had to make. And that one taught me about self-worth. Often you're not making decisions that will benefit you because you don't believe you are worth the decision. You don't believe you deserve the decision. You have put everything in front of that decision because logically, maybe you're a smart person. You like being rational. You like making rational decisions. Therefore, it never seems to make sense for you to make a decision that's going to serve you. Okay. So if you have a decision, kind of like the one I'm talking about, I had a major decision. I was going to be walking through a divorce potentially. It took me a while to get there, but I had to get over that self-worth issue, you know, realizing that I was worth making this large decision. I was worth walking away, even though I was going to witness the pain and the suffering that was going to cause my children. I had to have faith that this was absolutely the best move going forward. There are things in your decision-making that you might have to kind of warm up to it or prepare for something to go in either direction. But you know in your heart of hearts, if you are living a life right now in one of those four key areas that I talk about, relationships, career, finances, what's the other one? Health. You know in your heart of hearts, if you are stalling on a decision, because in one of those areas, maybe even more than one of those areas, life hasn't been working for you and you continue to be on the hamster wheel. You continue to suffer. You continue to feel guilty. You continue to have a gut in your, you know, or a pain in your gut because every day you're out of integrity. When you fail to make a decision that's going to serve your highest self, you are out of integrity with yourself. Because every day there's a thing going on to you, your own self-talk. I should be doing this, but I'm not. That right there is a lack of integrity. What happens with a lack of integrity over time? We become depressed. We become miserable. Sometimes we become victims. We blame other people for our misery. We blame the logistics. We blame all that rationale on why we won't make the decision to do something differently. I'm going to go to break. And when I come back, I'm going to be talking about how do we get to the point of making the decisions and what absolutely needs to be considered for us in order to move forward in a part of our life where we feel stuck. All right, my name is Susan Dene. If you are looking for coaching of any sort, either emotional elevation or high performance coaching, feel free to reach out to me on my website at susandene.com, or you can reach out on any of my social media at Susan Dene. The YouTube is Susan Dene, Know You're Crazy, and I will be back.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everyone, welcome back to the Know You're Crazy show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Specifically today, I'm talking about decision-making, what we are putting on hold before we make a decision to move forward, how we are influenced by the relationships in our life, how do we get out of putting everyone else's needs in front of our own needs, therefore kind of helping them make decisions before we make our own decisions. Prior to going to break, I was talking about different things that kind of we put on hold before we decide for ourselves. And I was getting into those four key areas of life: relationships, health, finances, career. Usually, if we're feeling off, we are not feeling emotionally elevated. And it's been a while. We've been in that spot for a while. There is a decision to be made that we have stalled on, How do you know if it's time to make the decision? Well, I'd like to talk about, you know, how does it feel when you don't make a decision? I mentioned it before I went to break. It'll feel depressing, out of integrity. We think we're supposed to be doing something, but we're not. Whenever we're in that game of cat and mouse with our action or inaction, we end up feeling really crappy about ourselves. Depending on how you emotionally process, if you're in a large amount of, you know, if you're lacking a lot of integrity and you're a bulldozer, you might be taking that out on the people around you. You might be so dissatisfied with your life and the choices that you've been making that you're blaming everybody else for it. If you're a doormat, then you're looking within and you're blaming yourself and judging the heck out of yourself for it. Either one of those, when taken to extremes, does not serve your highest self. So what is going on there? What is the angst between the idea, the decision, and your stall? And why do you stay there? Why do you stay stalled on the decision? One of the reasons people will stay stalled on their decision is analysis paralysis, overthinking to the point of paralyzation is what I like to say. Whenever I've been serving a woman in recovery or I'm helping somebody coach and I catch on to the fact, really it's a fact because it's not hard to pick up on once you've helped a lot of folks, where I always think they're thinkers. They are thinkers. They are going to think that all the way through. They are weighing the cons and the pros habitually, therefore resulting in zero movement. This is a classic case of what if? What if I do this and it goes bad? What if I do this and they get mad at me? What if I spend this money and then something comes down the road and I don't have the money? What if? And it's a consistent, well, actually it's a habitual constant weighing of the pros and the cons. It's the overanalysis of the decision to be made, which stalls us from making forward movement, really going against the intuition that we need to do something to change it up. I personally did this with a job of 20 years. Yeah, could have used some pros and cons, I'm sure, before I jumped ship, make sure that I was going to jump ship based on, you know, something to benefit me. But there was a lot of analysis paralysis that went on that really wasn't necessary. You know, one of the things that happens when we make a tough decision is we realize we're okay. Like the roof didn't fall in. Everything seemed to work out. Doesn't everything usually seem to work out? It might be uncomfortable for a while. It might be scary, but at the end of the day, stuff works out. Another reason somebody might stall between the idea or the decision and the action piece of it is information overload. We get overwhelmed with so many opportunities. So much information makes us feel informed, yet it is so much to mentally process. We resort back to analysis paralysis. So overwhelmed to the point of stuck, overwhelmed to the point of stuck. I personally live this life current. I don't think I ever used to get overwhelmed until I decided to do social media. Until I decided to do a podcast. So all of a sudden, social media is yelling and, you know, you're supposed to be over here and you're supposed to be doing this. And, oh, did you get the new change? And this needs done. And did you realize this? And did you do the blog? And did you talk to the book agent? And did you make your video? Did you learn how to edit a video yet? Oh, my God. It is like so much that it can really shut somebody down. So my heart goes out to any online, I'll say coaches at this point, who's in this industry, because wow, but that's an example of how overwhelm in a new area can absolutely freeze you up. There is so much to do that we cannot move. You know, one of the things that recovery is excellent at with helping people in the beginning of sobriety is we have the saying, keep it simple. When we get sober, sometimes we want to take on everything. We want to quit smoking at the same time we quit drinking or using. We want to get to the gym and start working out. We want to start saving money. Maybe we want a new job that earns more money. And all of a sudden, we got all these things we want to do. And somebody who's helping someone get sober will just say, or stay sober, really. Someone will just say, just go to a meeting, just today. Don't worry about the smoking right now. Don't worry about the working out. Now, that might sound funny to some normal folks out there who don't suffer from addiction and alcoholism. Like, wouldn't that be healthy? The most important thing in that scenario is that somebody stays sober. So the tool that we do is we say, keep it simple. I personally have to apply that same tool to my career. Keep it simple. Don't take on the whole world all at once. Just keep it simple. Because overwhelm can literally take us out. All right, I added this one. This wasn't, you know, I did some research before I did the show because I was putting in here a couple of things that might cause, you know, the stall. But I got to tell you, this one's mine and watch the language here, but it's a case of the fuck it's. It wouldn't matter anyway. My husband and I joke about Eeyore, Winnie and the Pooh, Eeyore wouldn't matter anyway. You know, the self-pity underlying the inability to make a decision. The self-pity underlying the inability to make a decision. Woe is me. If I made a move, it really wouldn't matter anyway. So instead of pushing through and getting into integrity with oneself, when we resort to this, we literally are like kind of almost like in a reverse blame. Like we want to blame other people for not caring, but we really don't know if they care. We've given up hope. It's all between our ears. But now we've justified the inability to make a decision by saying that it just wouldn't matter anyways. I'm just not going to get sober because it just won't matter anyways. I'm just not going to do, you know, work out or lose weight because it just won't matter anyways. I lose a couple pounds and then I gain it right back. I say that I'm going to quit eating carbs and then I eat a loaf of bread. You know, it just wouldn't matter anyways. Super good excuse to not make decisions, to not move forward in life is we literally give up hope. And that's the self-pity underlying the stall. What happens, you know, once we get into these reasons why we refuse to move forward, and the one I mentioned and talked about at the beginning of the show, and I'm just going to bring it full circle here. You know, we will also not make decisions based on the big one that I'm talking about today was the codependency of others and getting that out of our life. You know, realizing that people are going to be okay if you make a different decision. Like, they're going to be okay. They're probably not going to, you know, it's probably not a detrimental life danger thing that you're doing. People are going to be okay. And walking ourselves through the reasons why we get stalled, really checking in with ourselves, what our motives are behind our stall in decision-making. Or, I mean, ultimately what I'm talking about is when you've stalled in life and you've refused to make decisions that are going to catapult you forward in whatever area that is, you know, there's a problem. And so what is the motive? What is withholding you from making that one decision that you need to make? Okay, so now I'm gonna move into a little bit of coaching with you today. And I'm gonna ask you, what new decision, and you can even say needed decision, have you been sitting on that needs to be made this week? Yeah, I'm not gonna let you push that out till next week or 2 weeks. But what needed decision, what decision do you continue to mull around in your head and yet not take any action on? What decision is that? And you can just sit with that for a moment. What decision is that? One of the best tools in forcing ourselves to make a decision that we've been sitting on is to set a deadline. I was sharing with my mentor this week, maybe it was last week, that one of the best things I did for my business this last year was start this show. Because whether I like it or not, I have to come up with content for the show. I don't get to completely forget. I will push it till the last minute. But I am responsible because I made that one decision. Sometimes in life, we have to finance our growth. We have to finance our growth. What is it? And I had to finance my growth to get me to make a consistent decision to help catapult me forward. Is the decision that you've been sitting on something that you need to throw some money at? Is it a decision that would move forward if you decided that you are worth the investment in this one area of your life? Have you been stalling on your health because you're intimidated to go to the gym? You're saying you don't know how to do anything, yet you won't pay for a personal trainer. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Do you need to eat healthier, yet you won't maybe invest in a nutritionist? Are there areas in your life where if you had to make that decision this week, that you would be able to finance your growth? That's just one example of how you might be able to look at it. The deadline and pushing you to this week in making that decision is purposeful, because we tend to move when we have deadlines. We tend to move when we know something is coming up. A lot of times we rest on our laurels because nobody is helping us be accountable to that. We don't have anybody to check in with. We don't have anybody that we're answering to. One of the best tools in coaching is helping somebody set up goals for themselves and then following up with them about the goal. I remember I was taking a coaching course one time. This was several years back. And one of the things that they were coaching was, you know, we start out our session. We've got 12 sessions. And then, you know, this is how the session starts out. You don't want to spend too much time on the prior session because you want to move the person into the next gear. I thought to myself, I think maybe we need to spend some time on that prior session to find out, did they do what they said they wanted to do? And if they didn't, what type of probing questions or coaching questions can be asked to help them get past that moment of stall? Why did they not follow through on those things? You know, if a coach isn't in your realm right now, or who is? Who can help you get to that next level of goal setting for you that can help you be accountable? And are you committed to that? Like, are you committed to that? sometimes there's many areas in our life that we want to move forward in, yet we continue to stall on them because we just don't feel like it. All right. We just don't feel like it. Like there's so, it's so overwhelming. Remember that analysis paralysis I talked about, where it is so overwhelming? That can happen to the point where we don't move. And so is that what's going on? And is there, because if there's a lot of areas where you are overwhelmed, and if there's a lot of areas in which you want to make a decision, what my suggestion to you would be is make a small move. Just pick the one that feels the easiest to you. Pick the one that feels the easiest to you. Once you chip away at that decision, like I'll give you an example. I had a call from somebody today. They were, I think I mentioned them earlier in the show, but they were talking about they felt isolated from their friends. They hadn't kept up the communication like they wished. They had had an old feeling, an old resentment that had happened a long time ago, but now they were having trouble getting reconnected. My question to them was, what is a decision you could make in regards to those relationships that would help you reestablish a sense of integrity with your friends? I didn't say, why don't you sit down and have a big heart to heart about all your problems? I mean, you haven't talked to them forever. Who knows? You know, I highly doubt they're worried about you, because if they were, they would have come and talked to you. But what is one decision? And the answer was, I could ask them to go for coffee. Great. One small, easy decision that we don't have to overthink. We don't have to overanalyze. We just make the decision. If there is an area in your life where you have, or if there's many areas in your life where there are a lot of decisions that you want to make and you've been stalling on all of them, which it happens, maybe you're depressed. You know, maybe that's where it's at. I don't know. But what is the one decision you could make that you feel like making? What is the one decision that is easy for you? If you are putting people in front of your life, if you have that codependency in your decision-making going on, if everybody's coming to you to the point where you can barely make decisions for yourself, or you are absolutely exhausted, what is one small conversation decision that you can make and actually put into play with those relationships in your life? One small decision. The mom that I was talking to this week that has a child who is adult child who is suffering from addiction and alcoholism, my suggestion was, how many times, let me make sure I phrase this correctly. What if you only talk to them one time this week versus four or five times? How many conversations can you take off your plate this week with that? One decision, just one decision to make. That's it. One decision. Another person, when it came to making, you know, the children, you know, everything about the kids and this worrisome thing that happened, what is one decision that you can make about how to solve that problem? Because she had like different options she could choose from. But what's the one that feels the easiest to you? That is the one that's going to start to move the needle for you. It's the simple, easy decision that will start to move the needle for you. When we have decided already for ourselves that something is too hard, that something is going to take too much energy, that something is going to cost too much money, and we have been sitting on that decision for a long time, it's not about making the big decision right away. It's about chipping away at little small ones to get there. When I left the company after 20 years, the industry after 25 years of my prior life, I did not make that decision overnight. I made small increment decisions, and I was pretty miserable during this. I'm not going to lie, but there were pieces of integrity that would start to feel better, you know, as I became educated in another field, as I would, you know, do different homework or invest in other areas. When I had to go back to that job, it wouldn't feel as bad because I knew I was building something, but it was all those small decisions that were being made in order to get to the big one. So what small decision could you make if this feels big to you, if it feels too overwhelming to you? What decision could you make this week that will help move that needle for you a little bit in the area that you would like to grow in, that you would like to improve upon? What is the one small decision? In the relationships in your life, if you're placing everybody else in front of your decision making, What is the one phrase that you could come up with that would lessen the communication and start taking you out of that caretaker to extreme role? Where could you set the boundary? Sometimes it's going to be as simple as just don't pick up the phone. And then you might be thinking, oh, but if I don't pick up the phone, what's going to happen to them? They're going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, maybe that's not the decision for you. But at the end of the day, what is the decision? Small one. Okay. I want to talk about this next one because this is really, if you are suffering from codependency and it's in the decision-making and everybody else's life choices are coming before yours, then I'm going to share with you a trick that we use in recovery that works really well and is quite powerful. It's really about how we make suggestions to individuals instead of telling them what to do. Now, the reason this is fresh in my mind is because I was speaking with someone this week, and this comes up a lot in addiction and recovery circles, but it works really well even for individuals who are addicted to telling other people what to do. It's how we make suggestions and then we let go. We don't tell people what to do in recovery. And the reason why is because when it comes into helping people make healthy decisions for themselves, if you tell somebody what to do, they tend to get a little bit feathers ruffled. You know what I mean? Don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to hear anything you say. And so we make suggestions to individuals in recovery. That helps them maybe come to a conclusive decision for themselves and for their life. But if you have been the person making the decisions for everybody and you're caught in a loop of telling everybody what to do, sometimes people, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, become lazy thinkers, and they're so used to you making the decisions for them that they now don't know how to think on their own. They don't know how to process information on their own. They don't know how to weigh the pros and the cons. So if codependency is within your decisions, stopping you from making decisions for yourself because you're making them for everybody else, then this tool right here is something that you might be able to work on by simply just giving suggestions about things that they can do. Like, well, you know, come from your own experience and then make a suggestion, but not tell them what to do and let them have the power and the ability to make their own decisions around that. And then the key is not to ask them 20 questions about what they decided. Let them have their experience with whatever their decision is. Because ultimately, if you are codependent and making the decisions for everybody else in your life, then you're probably doing stuff that ain't none of your business. And people need to learn, whoever's coming to you, they need to be able to learn how to stand on their own and make their own decisions and still know it's safe for them to do so. So that's just a little tidbit. If you are suffering in that area and you need to make a change and you're like, well, how do I make this change? How do I say things to individuals? That's one. Make it a suggestion, not telling them what to do. Take a baby step with yourself. Make a small suggestion for yourself, a small decision for yourself about how to change it up this week. It doesn't have to be a monumental one, but just make a tiny baby step. And remember, it's going to be really important to do the thing that you want to do. Do the easy one. Don't pile up all the decisions to be made. You know, like the early person in sobriety who's going to, you know, quit drinking, quit drugging, save the marriage, start working out, quit smoking, eat healthy, eat a balance. Okay. Just keep it simple. Just reel it in. Keep it simple. Make the next indicated decision for yourself. That's what we would say. And find the momentum with making the easy decisions and stay away from the real big, overwhelming ones. And what you will find is over time, you will build momentum and you will start to have progress. That integrity will shoot up for you. You will start to feel better about yourself. You will start to feel better about yourself. As someone I talked to about an hour ago, already sent a message. I looked at it when I was on break saying, you know, thank you. I already reached out. I already set the coffee date and I feel so much better now on a decision that that person had been sitting on for a while. So sometimes it's as simple as one little baby step and you will feel so much better and then build upon that momentum. All right. So that's going to be it for me tonight. If you are seeking a coach or you're wanting somebody to help you with those weekly goals or looking for goal setting, trying to find out where do I go from here? Maybe you've made so many decisions that now you're out of decisions and you're wanting, what could I be inspired to do next with my life? If any of that appeals to you, feel free to reach out to me. I am taking clients right now. My website is susandene.com. You've got two different coaching programs you can pick from. One is emotional elevation, communication, boundary setting. Folks who are really in wanting a desire to build quality relationships in their life sometimes will pick that one. Sometimes the communication really helps a lot of individuals. How do I talk about this? That type of thing. Or you can do high performance coaching, which really is going to be for just some fantastic goal setting and really knocking down some barriers that you might have been setting up for yourself. Either way, I would be more than happy to talk to you. SusanDene.com. Having said that, set a goal this week. Set a goal this week. Take a baby step. Move into some decision-making. Feel good about yourself and have a blessed evening. That's a wrap. You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurts Your Life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's Susan Dene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.